Me.
Hello, I am Jackson Nichols.
Yeah, you're Jackson Nichols, and I'm Braden motherfucking Parker.
Motherfucking Parker.
It's Saturday afternoon.
Your mom's going to punish you for that one.
What did I do? You're the worst.
We are the worst.
The worst queers.
The worst queers here for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Mocking, whatever we're here for. So, now we're relaunching.
Oh my gosh, we took a little break. We were on vacation. We came back. We're going to tell you all about it. But we thought we would open with some celebrity gossip.
Yes, the section we're calling Gamus Gossip.
Yeah, and not actually about the band Gamus, except for when it is. No, we're just kidding, Gamus. We super love you. Please.
I mean, you know who they are.
You know who you are. So instead, we're going to call it Queer Celebrity, Celebrequeer. It didn't stick, so Gamus Gossip, here we are.
Alright, so we were just complaining about this person off microphone, so let's just complain about her on microphone. Meghan Trainor.
We hate Meghan Trainor.
Oh my god, I hate this woman. Like, number one, I hate that all her songs, like you were saying earlier, they're all about submitting to men.
Yeah,
like,
right. I'm gonna pull up some of her lyrics.
Oh my god, if I see her, like, on the floor, scrubbing a kitchen floor in pink one more time.
Oh, it's sickening.
Okay, so
there's... And not in a good way.
Not in a good way. It's not like it's part of her kink or it's part of a role play session. We can get behind those. But...
That's different. I mean, I guess you could argue that she has agency, but also in her position as a celebrity, she absolutely does not have agency.
And she also actively denies the title feminist, which is a whole big different thing.
I'm not one of those girls.
But other than that, she does that duet with Charlie Puth.
Who the fuck is Charlie Puth?
That's the question of the year.
That's a disgusting.
I think it's Charlie Puth. Whatever. They have a song called Marvin Gaye, and Meghan Trainor, Charlie Puth.
Ugh.
You don't know shit about Marvin Gaye, you two privileged hipster white people.
Womp.
Every time like they're singing how they want to be like Marvin Gaye, I was like, you mean socially aware? You mean fighting the good fight? You mean fighting for people instead of just caring about looking pretty?
I thought this wasn't the complaining section.
Oh. Whatever, that's the gossip.
Yeah, we fucking hate her. Anyway, here's her song, Dear Future Husband. Here are some lyrics from that.
Dear Future Husband.
Here's a few things you'll need to know if you want to be my one and only all my life. Take me on a date, I deserve it, babe. Don't forget the flowers every anniversary, because if you treat me right, I'll be the perfect wife. Buying groceries, buying what you need. Blah, blah. You got that 9-to-5, but baby, so do I, so don't be thinking I'll be home and baking apple pies. I never learned to cook, but I can write a hook. Well, I guess that's... I don't know.
Let's just move on.
Okay.
Because I can't talk about her anymore.
She's enraging.
I just do not enjoy
anyway,
her.
Anyway, sorry, I got to perform lyrics for you guys.
Yeah. I'm glad you rapped it like a true white person.
I that's all I can be.
I appreciate it. But in better gay news...
Better gay news.
Dolly Parton's coming on tour.
What?
Yes!
And Pee Wee Herman's back on the air, which is not a big thing for me, but I know is for a lot of queers.
You know, I'm unsure whether I care or not. I think I should give it a look.
Yeah,
is it out yet?
No, but there's a trailer on Netflix.
There's a trailer. Okay, I knew it was coming on Netflix.
The trailer was distinctly unfunny.
I mean, I can't remember if Pee Wee Herman was actually funny or if I just always thought he was funny because I was younger.
Yeah, I mean, I read a great article that was, like, interviewing him, and he's just, like, a weirdo. He's just, like, a queer weirdo. And I think...
Is he queer?
Oh, yes, yes. He got caught jerking off in, like, a gay porn theater or something, right?
He got caught jerking off in a theater. I don't think it was a gay porn theater.
I think he was there cruising.
Okay.
And also, like...
I mean, I'm not against him being part of the community. I just was not aware.
I think he's not open about it. I think that he refuses to answer about it, which to me is pretty indicting.
That's real.
You know.
I support non-answers.
Yeah.
Also, this might not matter to you at all. Well, no, Dolly Parton's amazing.
Yes.
Everyone should go see her. Like, yep. But other than that, Pansy Division is coming on tour. Does that mean anything
yes,
to you?
Yes, yes,
yes.
I'm not a huge fan, but I, you know, respect and appreciate.
So, their album, Should Have Taken Pictures, was like the gay punk album I got when I was in high school, and I was just so enthralled by it, and it was all about, well, it was all about white people, really. But at least it was gay. It was gay white
people. You
know,
you take it where you can get it.
You take what you can get when you're in high school,
yep.
And I love them, so I'm thinking of going to see them. Maybe you'll come with me.
I wouldn't not.
Yay!
Yeah.
They're old white men now. Like they're all right. They're like old aging punk people.
Well, they'll make us look young and cute.
I mean, I don't need anyone to make me look young and cute.
Amen. What else? We were going to complain about Ellen Page being like an imperialist.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yes, Ellen Page has that new show about how on Viceland called Gaycation.
Yeah.
Where her and her like gay BFF, who's like another white person, he's a guy, like go to various locales to explore their like queer culture.
Oh my god.
And you can watch the first one for free on YouTube.
Okay.
We should watch it.
We should. We'll get back to you and let you know how that went.
We should watch it. It's, they go to Japan, I think, in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated by this in a deep level. Like, yeah. It's problematic.
Gay tourism is inherently problematic.
Yeah, it's inherently problematic.
Mostly because it's mostly white people taking vacations, and mostly cis people, and mostly men. Except for when it's Ellen Page.
Well, I can't help but wonder if they're going to show the problematic elements, though. I mean, they're supposed to be going to Jamaica.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
Right? And Brazil. Like, these are places where, like, a lot of white queers go to like, perform sex tourism.
Yeah, but I'm also like, if you're going to be in Brazil, are you going to be, like, out partying, or are you going to be talking about the sex tourism?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. It's Viceland, so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, it's kind of a...
It's Vice. Like,
blank slate there.
Yeah, it's like, it could go either way, really, depending on which one they can make the most trashy and make the most money off of.
I kind of secretly wish I could get published with Vice.
Let's make that our goal.
Okay. I feel like we've said that about a lot of places.
We have a lot of goals. That's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. So that was our...
Any more gay Miss Gossip?
I don't think that there's some old white ladies who are lesbians now. They were actresses. I don't know.
That's all I know. I love a good old lesbian.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have anything else. Oh, bathroom bills suck. Don't vote for them, duh.
Yeah. Well, that's just bottom line.
News at 11, trans people treated like shit in the U.S.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a quick break, and then we will come back for our what will usually be our kvetching segment, but I think this time we're just going to praise Las Vegas.
Yes, but we're also probably going to complain because of who we are as human beings.
I mean, that's just who we are.
Yep.
Worst queers coming at you. Like Cleopatra. If you get that reference, I love you.
Turn off the damn mic.
My life is likened to a bargain store, and I may have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending it could be as good as new. Why, you take for instance this old broken heart, if you will just replace the missing part.
Hello, and welcome to part two.
Of the worst queers.
The worst queers.
Wait, we're on two, right?
We're on two.
I've lost count because we went and smoked
part
another
two. Bowl. And we watched Gaycation, the first episode.
Oh. Ellen Page. You tried.
Ellen Page is so condescending. But yeah. I feel like I said, when you get rich and have millions before you really have to pay for anything yourself... As an adult, you have a certain arrogance about you that you just can't get rid of. Like, you were rich before you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never had to worry about paying rent or doing all the shit that we have to do as adults.
I mean, as far as we know.
As far as we know. I shouldn't judge. But, I mean, I thought there was interesting interviews with a lot of, like, people. It wasn't just white people talking at them, which I appreciated.
Yeah, the parts where white people were talking at people was definitely the least interesting parts.
There were awkward moments.
Oh, my God. At one point, she marries her best gay friend at the, like, gay wedding chapel, but it's, like, kind of like a hetero marriage, basically. And it's awkward, and people applaud for them, and it's just a very uncomfortable situation.
I really hope the twist at the end is that they both turn out to figure out they're straight and get married, and it was all gay tourism all along. That's my hope.
Yeah, like, really, really objectifying gay tourism.
I mean, it sort of seems like really, really objectifying gay culture in other countries besides the West right now, yep. But...
Yeah, it's healthy dose.
The interviews were interesting. The sitting in as someone came out to their mother was not. That was awkward.
Trigger warning for deep awkwardness.
Deep awkward. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, come in. I have something to tell you.
No spoilers.
Okay.
Just watch it. Just watch it.
It's a lot.
Okay. Anyway, part two, we're going to talk about Vegas.
Oh my god, Vegas.
Okay, so me and Jackson went to Vegas
and had the most January. Fucking phenomenal time.
Yes, we found out that we are definitely Vegas people.
Oh my god, it's so trashy. It's like my home.
We were drinking at like 10 a.m. on the first day we got there.
It's what you do. Like, number one, you can drink on the streets. You don't have to see sunlight if you don't want to. You just stay in the casino the whole time.
It's a great place for a vampire.
Oh my god. There's fabulous food. We ate at the Denny's.
It was the best Denny's meal of my life. They had a photo booth inside the Denny's.
And a full bar. And a full wedding chapel.
Well, full wedding chapel.
I mean, that's a stretch.
Impartial wedding chapel. It was like two pieces of lattice work.
Hey, that's all you need. That and love.
And a,
that and love.
And a preacher. What is it? Do you get a certificate?
I think the woman who was the hostess was like the preacher. Like, I think she was the one who married
people. I wish
people.
That the process of ordering at the wedding Denny's was more wedding-y.
More wedding-y.
You know? Like, I wish you would walk in the door and, like, pigeons painted white would just shoot out from things, and then there'd be, like, rice. And then... I've never been to a wedding, clearly.
Hey, I was offered an Irish coffee as soon as we sat down, so that was the best meal I've ever had.
Yeah.
We went to many buffets.
Oh, some of them were suspect.
Listen, every buffet is a little bit suspect. You have to find the food that's not.
Yeah, you just kind of pick through the salmonella.
Yeah, and you find the deliciousness in your heart.
Yeah, okay, so we stayed at, what was it called? The Gold Spike?
The Gold Spike. The Oasis at the
Gold
Spike.
Oasis at the Gold Spike. Which, let me tell you, it's not on the Strip. It's in Fremont, which is like... the old school Vegas.
Like, it's like where Vegas downtown used to be before the Strip, and I love it.
It's
there.
So trashy and good.
It's so trashy.
And you know, people warned us, like, all over the internet, they're like, be careful on Fremont Street, there's like vagrants. You know? But you know, we live in a place that is a big city.
Yeah.
And we are used to that shit, unfortunately. But so, you know, for us, Fremont Street didn't look any different than the part of the city where we live, really.
No, it was fine. But it actually was cleaner.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah, it had, like, way more, like, cheaper free booze.
Way more cheaper free booze.
Pro tip, if you want to drink for free in Vegas, here's what you do.
Oh my god,
you go into a crappy little casino on Fremont Street. And you sit down at the bar that has the video screens built into the bar, and you just play blackjack, and you just drink your free drinks as long as you want.
And you bet pennies.
And here's the thing. Gamble slow, drink fast.
You are there. We went to the Strip a few times. We saw the famous divas, the female impersonators.
Oh, yes, the Frank Marino Divas show, which was really just the Frank Marino removes his ribs and attempts to suck his own dick show.
Oh, my God. You know how when you go to a movie theater and there's trivia before the show? They have they have that at Divas, but every bit of trivia is about Frank Marino.
And it turns out, Frank Marino, not that interesting. No. A lot of them were like, sort of like, Frank Marino almost won.
Hey, did you know Frank Marino knew all these divas?
Here's
hey.
A picture of Frank Marino and his close friend, Liza Minnelli, but he's like standing 6 feet away and he's like behind her waving.
Luckily, Frank Marino was not there for us. It was
Some queen.
Some queen who was like a nurse, I want to say.
Yeah, she was totally.
If you know who she is, she was fun. She was funny. I liked her.
Yeah, she had kind of a Joan Rivers thing going.
Yeah, some of the performers were really, really good.
And some of them were not.
Reba looked angry.
Well,
Reba, I kept imagining the TV show, and I was like, this is the episode where Reba turns on everyone and just eats them all. Like, it just felt like she was very angry with us the whole time.
Yeah, you know? You gotta channel your rage from your day job into your night drag.
That was a lot. They were not drag queens. They were female impersonators. Yeah, they were very clear about that.
Problematic.
I think that... So here's what my theory is.
But I was so drunk at that show, I almost fell off my tall stool.
Oh, we had a Groupon for 44-ounce frozen margaritas. Oh, that's the thing.
We took a little side tour through what turned out to be a food court.
It was the best food court in the mall.
But it was in a casino.
It was in the fancy casino, too, wasn't it? In not Bellagio.
Oh.
Venice. Yeah, it was in the fancy Venice, but it was, like, underground and through a bunch of corridors. And all of a sudden, food court with giant burritos and 44-ounce frozen margaritas. Yeah. And why not?
And it was, you know, burritos outside of California are rough, but I have to say it was a pretty decent burrito.
It was okay. It's hard outside once you get outside of California.
Yeah, especially with the avocados. But look... I mean, we might not be in California. I'm just saying that. Anyway, we're so bad at this.
We can edit that out. We can edit that in post.
Yeah, but we won't.
I mean, I might. I'm skilled.
Okay, fine.
At things. I don't know.
Oh, so we drank 44-ounce margaritas that were the size of our faces, and I kept the cup as a souvenir, and it looks like a fruit bowl, like, for display.
I threw my cup away because they did not allow drinks in Frank Marino's.
And he couldn't finish it, the big wimp. At one point, I mean, we escalated from, like, ooh, we're having a margarita first thing in the morning to, like, wake up, open bottle of whiskey, and chug, and then just, like, wipe the sleep from your eyes and stumble downstairs for breakfast.
That was...
Like, that, we got, shit got deep on day three.
Deep and wonderful.
Yep.
So recommendations if you're going to go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oasis at the Gold Spike?
Yes.
Maybe don't stay there. Maybe. Here's the thing. There's no clock, and more importantly, there's no phone in the room.
Okay.
So you try and call the front desk, and you have to use your cell, and it goes to their cell.
Here's, let's be real about sex tourism in Vegas, though. We learned what Oasis at the Gold Spike was for, because the bottom is a club. And club, they don't have a lobby. Word. You have to go through the, like, bar and grill?
Yeah, but
bar
worse.
And grill with music.
Mostly bar, less grill.
And I realized it was sort of the place where...
Oh, right? Hotel Nightmares?
No, it wasn't Hotel Nightmares.
No, it was like a post-Hotel Nightmares.
It was a post-Hotel Nightmares. We stayed in a post-Hotel Nightmares situation. But beyond that, it was the place where, like, white women came to, like, hook up with men of color. Like, did you not notice
no,
this?
No, I didn't.
Every time we went through the lobby, there was, like, this mass of sort of very, like, generic blonde, you know, cheerleading girls, and, like, loads of Samoan men talking to them. Like, it was a very interesting dynamic that was happening every time we moved through that lobby. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I felt like it was a local bar where that was the thing.
Yeah, but they were also, like, profiling you at the door, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. They kept asking. Well, because I'm not Samoan. But also, like, I feel like we have that. There's that in, like, a bunch of different places. I've been to restaurants that are, like, Senegalese themed, where after 10 o'clock at night, all of a sudden, like, the theme is very much, this is when the blonde white women come. To, like, meet the dark-skinned Senegalese man and dance with them. It was awkward. Especially because I was there with a huge group of women of color. And we were like, what's happening all around us right now?
Yep.
So, yeah, it felt very that, which was interesting. But, yeah, I loved Vegas. I thought it was the funnest city. And it gets a horrible, horrible bad rap that it does not deserve.
No. Because you know what? You can have a lot of fun for $20 in Vegas.
You know what? It's like a mall you can drink in. With history.
Yeah. We went to museums. This weird museum, though.
The mob museum.
Which was, like, super pro-police.
Yeah, I was expecting, like, more information on mafia and how it ran and, like, famous men and women in mafia. I was especially interested to know about women in mafia. And it just really focused on how they were caught.
Yeah, it was very much about state intervention.
Yeah, if you're going to tell me it's a crime museum, tell me about crime.
Yeah, I want to learn about some cool, terrible things that happened.
Right?
That's what I'm about.
So
I watch Law & Order.
Oh my god, I can't watch Law & Order anymore. I feel like Law & Order is there to fool us into thinking that everything's going to be alright and that the police actually care about us. Like, if you watch enough Law & Order, you can pretend that, like, Detective Olivia is going to come and save you, when really the detective that's going to come is an asshole.
I just want to believe it's Olivia.
I mean, don't we all want Olivia in our life?
Mm. Anyway, we went to this gay bar.
Oh my god.
We almost forgot to tell you about Fun Hog Ranch.
We went to this gay bar called Fun Hog Ranch, and we had a drunk walk that I thought was delightful.
Okay, it's like, here's the thing. It's like maybe like a 25-minute walk from the strip.
Yeah.
So we walked down. It took about 30 minutes probably, because I'm slow and drunk at that point. We had just stopped at a liquor store and just...
We had our bottles.
Yeah, we were working through some bottles. And we'd wandered down to Fun Hog Ranch, which is a long-ass walk. In retrospect, we should have definitely taken a cab, but we didn't.
No, it was fine.
So we got there, and, like, as we're coming up, we're, like, we start to see some bad signs. Okay, so there are, like, four cop cars outside a motel, and there's a one-legged woman standing in the high beams arguing with the police, and then there's...
From behind her walker.
Okay, and then whatever, that was like, okay, well, this is kind of a tense situation, and there's nothing but motels all around us, and then in the middle of all these motels, there's this tiny little shack, and there's no cars in the parking lot. We're like, is this Fun Hog Ranch? Like, this is neither fun nor ranch, and I see no hogs, and I don't even see a bar, really. We're like, where are the people? Where is even the door?
Okay, so, and before we go in, Brayden is like, I need you to promise me that if it's scary in there, we can leave right away. Like, I was gonna make him stay no matter what it was like on the inside.
Okay, so we find the door, it's around the back, and we, like, push open the door, and all of a sudden, we're in this very pleasant, very sweet little gay bar.
It was very cute. There was nice little Tom of Finland and other stuff on the walls. There was an amazing jukebox.
Yeah, the dudes were all in their, like, 30s or 40s or 50s. Yeah. It was, like, not a super Twinkie set.
Yeah, there were nice drinks in pint glasses for, like, $2.
Oh,
those were delightful.
Yeah, and then they had video poker, too, which, like, I, at that point, was totally addicted to. Video blackjack, actually.
Yeah. The only sad part is that, like, an hour into our visit, a DJ showed up.
Oh, yeah.
A video DJ at first.
And just played, like, really offensive things. Didn't he
yeah,
play
Yeah, he played Joan Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
He played Joan Rivers, like, going off about blackness, like, to the point where I had to, like, be like, bartender, when does this DJ go off? Because he's playing some offensive shit right now.
Yep.
And, like, they looked at me like, well, they didn't like, chase us out with pitchforks.
Right.
But they were like, oh, yeah, he comes in every night. Like, why do you have him come in every night?
Yeah, that you're ruining the bar. Also, there was a really great jukebox.
Yeah, the jukebox, I had, like, $10 of music, like, queued up when this fucking DJ came in. There was going to be some Beyonce, there was some Nicki Minaj, there was Rihanna. People were jamming.
And they were cruising us.
Yes. Were they?
A little bit.
I mean, I'm one of those people who really does not pay attention unless someone just grabs my ass.
Yeah, we stuck out. I mean, we stuck out.
I think that's true. We did stick out.
We're a bit of an odd couple.
We were new. We were new.
And we're new.
We were fresh meat.
And baby-faced. And they're all grizzled from the fucking desert sun.
And the cigarette, and the enclosed cigarette smoke turns your skin into prosciutto.
Yeah, we have beautiful California skin.
Not California.
Or not, skin. Whatever we are. We could be in a lot of places, you don't know me. Anyway.
But yeah, the smoke does turn your skin into prosciutto. But what I will say I appreciate about Fremont Street as opposed to the Strip is the Strip tries to cover the cigarette smoke with that horrible, like, lavender-scented perfume.
Oh, God.
So then it's like someone smoked a lavender cigarette in your face.
Right?
I'm like, at least Fremont, it's just the cigarette smoke.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Small blessings.
And, oh, Vegas has a Shake Shack now, which if you've ever been to the East Coast and been to New York or Philly, you should have already gone. But Shake Shack is the most delicious version of In-N-Out.
It was delicious. I personally don't like In-N-Out, but I thought Shake Shack was very delicious. I had a delicious burger and fries, and I unfortunately ordered the wrong, like, ice cream. And then by the time they got me the right one, I was done. But, yeah.
We had been drinking for so long by that point, nothing sounded good.
Oh, God, it was a lot.
And here's the other weird thing, is the area we were staying in was called the Llama. Like, it's like, weird, oh, yes. Llama-shaped, gentrified blob of Fremont Street area. And
because it's all owned by
the guy who runs
Zappos.
Yeah, the shoe people.
And his favorite animal is
the llama.
You guessed it. So there's all this weird, like, llama themed soaps and like,
or like llama shampoos. Crossing haha signs.
Yeah, that one place, the like little mini mall.
Oh, I was on TV, you guys.
Oh my God, okay, I ruined it. I ruined it for him. I'm sorry. I know. I'm a ruiner.
What?
That I ruined the TV thing for you.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Okay,
so we're in this that llama, and there's this container park where, of course, all the hipsters have their little, like,
juice bars.
Yeah.
And without juice.
We tried to get juice so that we could mix it with liquor and be healthy.
And they were like, we're out of juice. What the fuck, you're out of juice?
Yeah. Who runs out of juice? You're a juice bar. What else do you sell?
Ugh, salads. Ugh. That's hell.
That's like a non-chewed juice.
So anyway, apparently there was this art thing that I think we first saw when we first visited.
Yeah, like a heart-shaped, like,
grate.
Grating.
With all these locks on it.
Yeah, like, you know how they do on bridges and they put, like, a padlock with your romantic initials, and your date?
How very 1950s.
Blech. So.
Just waiting for the lunch.
But also a great metaphor. Jesus.
Sorry to get real about what the 50s were like.
Yeah, I know, but they're bad.
Okay, let's go. Sorry.
Oh, man. Sorry, I've been reading a time travel book. Everything is bad in all eras. What? Oh, so they have this heart-shaped thing. And so we were walking past it. We didn't really notice it. And then, you know, we had a great time over the next couple days. And on the last day we were in Vegas, we stopped by again. And there was this film crew that said CW, like the CW, filming right next to the lock. And they were locking eyes with everyone walking by trying to get them to interview. And everyone was ignoring them. So my drunk ass was like, oh, I super need to talk to that guy.
And so he gets asked, like, what do you think about the art? So, of course, me coming up behind him, not realizing that the art is missing, I'm like, oh, it's just bad art. Like, who approved it? No one likes it. It's ugly. And that's when we realized that it was gone.
Yeah, he's like, well, actually, it was stolen. What do you think about the fact that it was stolen? And I paused and I was like, well, I'm from Insert City. So,
shit gets stolen all the time.
Yeah, shit gets stolen all the time. And he was like, okay! Well, back to the you know.
So, we're more of an MTV interview, I think, than a CW interview, if we're being honest.
I really don't think that anyone should interview us except us.
We didn't see Britney, because Britney was off for the days we were there, which made us sad.
Okay, what else did we do? We went to Funhog Ranch, we drank out of bottles, we wandered the strip, we wandered Fremont Street, we bought a lot of souvenirs.
Yeah, that's
about
it. Our
hotel was kind of crappy.
Oh, we relaxed in our hotel. We submitted stuff for publication.
Oh, yeah, we spent a whole hour submitting writing to publications.
See, we did things.
Yeah.
So I support us.
Yeah. And then you had a bank card fiasco.
Oh my god, I can't even talk about it.
No, okay.
Let's just say that I left my bank as soon as I got home the next day and, like, joined a credit union. I was like, fuck you, Chase.
Yeah, you hear that, Chase? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you and everything.
With something hard and sandpapery.
You said it.
On that note, we'll be right back with our advice.
Something hard and sandpapery.
That's always the note I want to end on.
I don't chase money, let the money chase me. And if the money chasing me, then I know I'm doing me. I don't chase money, let the money chase me. And if the money chasing me, then I know I'm doing me.
Do, 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 do.
We're back.
Do 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 do.
We're back.
Do 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 do.
I got no more lyrics. Back,
back to Fraggle Rock. I don't know why.
Back to Fraggle. Okay. Well, anyway.
Back to Fraggle advice.
We're the worst queers.
We're the worst queers.
I'm Braden Parker, and that's Jackson Nichols over there laughing like a fucking hyena.
Well, when you're ridiculous, you make me laugh.
Aww.
So since we don't actually have advice any advice written in, which, get on it. Write in the advice you'd write to no one else, because we're horrible people. We'll encourage you to steal your partner's best friend.
Yeah, and you know, we won't read your name on the air unless you ask us to.
Yeah, it's all anonymous.
If you want it to be. Like a little Gmail account, it's like, you know, fake guy who doesn't exist 69, and then email us from there.
That guy who doesn't like to exist likes a lot.
Yeah, we won't even know it's you.
Had specific sexual needs.
Yeah. Anyway, so you can write to us about your specific sexual needs, although we can't resolve them for you.
We can give you funny, useful, useless advice.
Yeah.
At theworstqueers@gmail.com.
Okay, so with that in mind, we decided to steal someone else's advice column.
It's from Dear Sugar in the Rumpus. Now remember, Dear Sugar was Cheryl Strayed.
Who wrote that book which became the movie Wild.
Right? She's just like Reese Witherspoon. She doesn't know anything about your life.
But we do. We know way too much about your life.
We know it all. So do you want to read the letter or should
I? Okay, so, this is from November 3rd, 2011. Dear Sugar, I'm going to read the highlights because this is a long-ass letter.
Well, yeah, we don't have to read Sugar's response, do we?
Okay, yeah, no we don't. We can sum it up. Dear Sugar, ever since I was a small girl of about 6, I have delighted in the idea of growth, and I don't mean spiritual or emotional or mental growth.
Those are boring.
Yeah, fuck that. I mean literal growth. The idea of expansion has always excited me. I like the idea of women growing. Usually, it was something to do with eating. I'm a teenager now. Over the years, as I started using the internet, I began to see that I was not the only one out there with desires related to this. There's even a name for us, female fat admirers or FFAs. Which I'm going to say, that just pretty much just makes you a lesbian. With a fetish. Okay. I don't know why the female fat admirer is part of, you know?
I don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Alright. Of course, there aren't a whole lot of women preoccupied with inflation or expansion or feederism, which is a word that you made up.
No, it's not. Feederism is a specific kink.
Feederism sounds like a form of discrimination.
No, feederism is where, like, people get off on feeding their partners and watching them expand and, like, rubbing food on them. I love to be fed like a big old baby. Oh, I wish someone was feeding me a country fried steak right now.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not a feeder. Oh, my poor boyfriend has, like, gained literally 15 to 20 pounds since he started dating me a year ago. And he's not a big guy.
That's good loving.
Yeah, that's like 20% of his body weight.
Good loving, put some handles on those hips.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, back to the letter.
Sorry. Just thinking about chicken fried steak.
That's important. We should go get chicken fried steak.
Boop, boop, boop. As I grew older, I realized that what I was doing with these thoughts was masturbation.
You didn't figure that out?
That was complicated. Soon after that, I realized that my thoughts were not only simply strange, but utterly bizarre and mildly horrifying. I figured this out through tests with my friends. Oh, you poor thing. For example, I'd link to a drawing of an obese girl that I found intoxicating, and say, oh my god, look at this, and watch their reaction. I've begun to worry more and more about what my parents and friends might think if they ever found out. The logic of it doesn't make sense to me. And this is rude. I don't find fat in real life to be attractive, on myself or most others. And I think we will come back to that sentence, because that's loaded as hell. I don't like the idea of myself masturbating.
That's loaded.
We should unpack that. And I don't like the idea of anyone ever knowing about my desires. I've tried to stop, but I find that I can't. Funny thing about repressing your desires.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever admitted my fetish to anyone, which I thought I'd never do, but sugar, I need help. I want this to go away. It doesn't rule my life, but every second of enjoyment I get out of it just feels dirty and wrong. It makes me sort of sick sometimes. I've tried chalking it up to being a horny teenage girl, but I don't sense that this kind of thing is normal. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. Is it okay? Is it normal? Am I just another one of those freaky people who spends too much time in the deep, dark places of the internet? Please help. With love, worse than a furry.
That letter's full of judginess.
Okay. Judginess, but, like, deep, deep-seated...
Oh, like, deep self...
Self-loathing.
Deep self-loathing.
So, do you want to sort of sum up what Cheryl says?
So, Cheryl Strayed, like, writes back that, like, it's not... You know, normal shouldn't matter, but then she, like, shames some kinks by saying, these are what some people think is normal. It's a lot of, like, her own life. She tries to be really nice about it. Sexual desires are weird. Let's talk you down, da-da-da, and then she worries about her, and is basically like, well, you might be, like, you know, surrounded by people who don't understand you, like, when a gay or lesbian person comes out. Like, let's...
Don't even compare your fetish to my sexuality.
Number one.
Yeah.
And number two, without going into the fact that this young girl is attracted to larger women, so she might... just be a lesbian.
And then she's funneling it into a fetish because she doesn't know how else to process the info.
Exactly. Like, let's go there, Cheryl Strayed, but what can I expect from you? And so, let's just skip the rest of that, because then she goes on a whole thing about what her fetishes were when she was younger, and how she told someone about them, and how they changed her. We don't care about your life, Cheryl Strayed. You made millions
from it. That's enough. Nobody fucking asked you. Well,
but,
except for Worse Than a Furry.
Well, Worse Than a Furry asked for advice, didn't ask for, like, Cheryl Strayed's childhood fetishes. there's a difference there.
So, yeah.
Poor Worse Than a Furry. This is, like, 5 years ago now. So, they've probably already... I don't know what they've done with their life. But from that letter, it's probably nothing good. Now, there's a lot of self-loathing in there. There's a lot of anger at themselves. Wait, what are we doing?
I just read this part.
Cheryl Strayed.
Says something about worshipping the great white American cock. What?
She's trying to link fetishes to, like, societal pressures and societal choices. Like, maybe you just are fetished for fat women because fat women aren't shown on TV. And, like, that's why you're obsessed with them.
Yeah, that doesn't make any fucking sense, or everyone would.
No, Cheryl Strayed's not. I don't know why.
Okay, so let's get real about.
Let's get real
fat
about
admirers, chasers,
fetishes, all that kind
shame.
Of shit.
Where does a fetish come from?
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I think it comes from a combination of things: So
I think it comes from society. I think it comes from the way you were raised.
Comes
I
from
think
trauma.
From trauma, from some of your first sexual experiences,
mm-hmm.
whether they were like traumatic or not. Like yeah. those still shape what you're.
Yeah, and I feel like chemically, maybe your brain just latches onto something.
Yeah, and won't let go. And all of these things are fine.
As and intersecting, long as, and as long as everyone's consenting.
As long as consent is always there, you can do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's our general platform.
I think that should be everyone's general platform.
But here's the thing, is that I think that the asker of the question is asking some bigger questions underneath yeah. that question of, is this normal, is this okay? Because I think what she's actually asking is, why am I obsessed with the idea and concept of fatness, and why am I so opposed to fatness in when I encounter it in real life?
I don't even think she's asking that second question because she doesn't know enough to ask that second question.
Yeah, she needs
question.
To be asking that question.
She's resistant to the idea of fatness as attractive because she's always been told that fatness can't be attractive.
Well, and she's saying that she's grossed out by the idea of it on her own body.
Yeah.
And I think that is that's the core issue for me. Like, we fetishize the thing that we repress the most, I think.
That says a lot about me that I don't want to be true, so I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say we do fetish some of the stuff that, fetishize. Well, I think that sometimes we fetishize the things that are like us, and sometimes we are very resistant and hate the things that are like us.
Yep.
So it can go many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I do think there's some self-image stuff happening. And I mean, you're a teenage girl in America. It makes total sense
right.
that there's,
and,
self-image stuff
and
happening.
And the fact that you're exclusively interested in women, it means that you're also maybe not dealing with your sexuality.
Because there are women who are attracted to fat men.
Mm-hmm.
That is a kink in and of itself. Like, we're totally ignoring the fact that she's attracted to women expanding, mm-hmm. which is, like you said, it probably has very little to do with the fetish and more to do with your
sexual preference
yeah. that you're not ready to face. I really would love to contact this reader or this writer and ask them, what their personal life is like. Do they have a boyfriend? Mm-hmm. Have they ever dated? Like, what is their... Because that's the context we're not getting.
Right.
Like, worse than a furry is writing about this like it's a fetish, and that's all that matters, and mm-hmm. nothing else surrounding it matters.
Right.
But...
Well, I think that it's we need to pick it apart into the... I mean, we already covered that she's, clearly dealing with some sexual identity issues. And then the fact that, she is so drawn to this thing she is so repulsed by that, I don't know, I feel like I kind of lost my train of thought, but I think that she's got some...
Here's what I want you to do worse than a furry. Here's what I want you to do 5 years ago. I want you to find that fat woman of your dreams.
And sit I want on you, her.
And whoa.
Face.
I was going to say ask her out, but whatever you want to do. I feel like if you are attracted to the images, and there's an interesting note because she says, I'm not attracted to it on other people, mostly.
Yeah.
Which to me says that she is attracted to some fat people.
But that she has a very specific idea of what kind of fat is okay.
Exactly, and what kind of fat is okay to be attracted to.
Right.
And that's something to get over.
Yeah. So I think that she needs to, do some work on herself in terms of her sexual preferences for gender. And she needs to do some work on herself for, body image issues and, why is she, a fat shamer, basically.
Yeah. She can also just, have a good time.
Or, yeah, sit
exploring
on some
Exploring your
faces.
Sexuality can be fun.
And everyone needs to get laid.
Everyone needs to get laid.
So maybe...
Some people more than others.
I'm just saying that she would have no problem finding people to sleep with if she was open about what she wanted.
Yeah. And
people want to be appreciated. And the thing about chasers is sometimes it's all you got. And I'm not saying that, the objects of her desire could not acquire anyone but her, but that there's someone out there who would love and appreciate her if she can get over the idea, the dissonance between her interest image-wise and her interest in person.
Yeah.
Because if she could actually love a fat person and be a good partner and, support that person emotionally and without, objectifying them, then she can have, a totally decent relationship with the body type that she's attracted to.
Yes, she can.
But
I
she
agree.
Has to, do that work first.
She has to actually want it, and she has to actually come to terms with the things she wants.
Just like any kind of chaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say do it.
Yeah.
I say live your truth.
Follow your heart. And you need a therapist, but not for the reasons that Dear Sugar thinks you do.
No. And I want country fried steak.
a fucking man.
Like, that's... That's,
what that's the real conclusion of the story.
The real... Thank you, Worse Than a Furry. Also, Worse Than a Furry...
Yeah, that's rude.
Like, that's rude.
Look, we all hate furries.
No!
I'm just kidding. No, but...
I have furry friends.
We all have furry friends.
We all have furry friends.
Some of my best friends are furries.
Oh, wow. that's just very rude. Let's not play the, like, kink Olympics where my kink is better than yours.
Oh, or my God. Kink did you just less. Expropriate?
I did expropriate.
Oh, my God. Don't yuck my yum.
I did what I had to do, and I'll do it again, and again, and again.
Do you want me to leave you alone?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about country fried steak now.
Oh my God, what I'd do to a country, I mean for a country fried steak.
Oh, I'd do it to it too. Okay, well, our sexualities have been changed by this letter.
Yeah, thanks.
And we hope yours have too.
Yeah, go get a pizza. Make one person eat it and just watch.
Or eat it off them.
Yeah, whatever.
We have plans.
Follow your heart.
Follow your join. Wait, I don't know what I said there.
Words are hard.
Follow your loins. That's what I meant. Go with God.
Sexy girl. Try sexy. Sexy girl. Try sexy. Sexy.